Welcome back to Two Way Talk here on Public Radio WEAA 88.9. Absolutely the voice of the community.
Absolutely.
I'm Carol Williams.
And I'm Anthony McCarthy.
So, Anthony, yesterday we were talking about immaturity and stuff like that through athletes. And so I was wondering, do you think that our kid athletes are growing up too soon? We welcome you to call 410-319-8888, and we're going to have a conversation about the expectations of athletes when they're so young.
Yes. Because a lot of people think of these athletes as very mature. But remember, we forget that they are 18, 19, 20 years old, making millions of dollars.
And even up to like 23 or 24, if they haven't had the right guidance, they're going to show some immature behavior.
Yes.
And we were talking to Coach McAdams yesterday about Lamar, you know, Jackson immature. But there is a plethora of young athletes that we really expect, because they are put in the spotlight and we put them on a pedestal and give them a whole bunch of money, that they're automatically mature. And the bad part of that is they have no clue.
None.
But whoever is around them doesn't tell them. You still got to listen to your parents.
Without question.
You still got to listen to your coaches. You know, bring it down a little bit. So, yeah. So.
And the interesting thing, and I want to hear our listeners, what you think about this, is that there are, and I don't have the list in front of me, but we printed out a list of the 10 athletes that need to grow up.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in baseball, it was in football, it was in
hockey,
it was in soccer. The sports casters rated these athletes. There were so many athletes who, if an official went against them, they were in that official's face, they were screaming and yelling. If one of their colleagues on their team criticized them or pointed out something they could do better, they were in their face. There were athletes who bit each other, who spit on each other.
And do you remember McEnroe?
I do.
Every time.
He was a character.
He was something else. And what was funny about him now is that he's making a living off of that bad attitude that he had back in the day.
That he did. He
because
had
he's making commercials
attitude.
Now with that bad attitude, and it's something else. And, you know, Usain Bolt.
Yep.
He was an excellent, excellent. How many gold medals did he win?
He was incredible. Runner, extraordinary.
Yes, and he was labeled the same way.
He was. He was criticized that he was arrogant, that he did not care about his sport. He was unsportsmanlike. Because he would be running by people and waving at them as he ran
taunting.
By them. He was taunting them.
Mm-hmm.
And people said, my God, he needs to grow up.
Now he
is a statesman.
He's a statesman. And he gave one of our other athletes, Sha'Carri Richardson, some advice. And he told, and I think he was right on one end, he was wrong on the other end. And he told her, you need to train more and talk less. Now, what I agree with her is that she said, all these people want to give me advice in the media, but no one comes to talk to me.
Nobody calls me and gives me this
exactly
advice.
And that's what we were talking about when this whole Sha'Carri Richardson first came up. Nobody in her circle, and he's definitely in her circle.
He definitely is in her circle.
And he would be one of those people that could just call her up on the phone, you know, and or go to her and say, look, do this, do that. I learned from me. I was that person back in the day. Then on the other hand, with Usain Bolt, you know, he was like, well, if she talked trash, she need to back it
up.
She
needs to back it up. She can't come in last place.
And he said, and you're talking to Jamaican women who have a big pride. And, you know, he said, and that just made, that just hyped them up more, even more to beat her.
That's right. And that's why they beat her.
And that's,
they wanted to prove a point to her that you're going to talk all this trash.
Right.
We going to run you down in the ground.
Right.
And they did.
And
they beat her
and
badly.
She's not, they did. Nine is not too good. So
not just, good at all.
I'm just saying. But she's not the only one.
That's right.
Look at
Simone Biles.
Simone Biles. She has all this attention, all this money. And then what happens?
She goes to the Olympics.
Yeah.
And says, I can't deal with the pressure. There's too much pressure from the media. There's too much pressure. I can't do this.
So somebody,
and people supported her. They're like, oh, you take care of your mental health. You take care of you, blah, blah. And then the next couple of weeks, she's at the Emmys. She's at the Met Gala. She is in a gown twirling around. The media didn't seem to bother her then.
Yeah, but that's something that should have started from the beginning.
Yes.
Taking care of her mental health. Whoever was in her circle should have taken care, helped her take care of her mental health. And it's ignored. And I'm not putting her down. She had to do what she had to do.
Not at all. That's right.
But the Olympics wasn't the time to figure out, I need some mental health. You know, she had, what, how many years before the Winter Olympics came that she could have said to her mom, her trainer, whoever's in her corner, I need to talk to somebody. Something's not going on, you know. So, and I'm just hoping that, really, I do hope that Sha'Carri Richardson, who basically we put her on a pedestal.
And she is a talented
athlete. Yes,
yes. She is an incredible athlete. But let's be very honest. When the pressure comes, she cracks.
Yeah.
And we need people around her that are giving her advice on how to deal with the media. We need people around her who say, you don't have to respond to everything everybody says. You are bigger than that. You are better than that. But she proves that she may not be better than that because she responds to everybody.
She responds to everybody and she responds negatively and immaturely.
Yeah.
That's an issue because at some point she's going to have to block out all of those people that are saying things about her, because if not, her concentration will never come back.
Oof.
It won't. She'll be so concentrated on what the media says that she can't, you know, get herself together.
And what she'll become known for is responding to criticism and the media and not running.
And how does she and I'm sorry we're staying on her so long, but how does she has to be able to deal with the fact that some people are just going to come at her just to see her act like that.
Just to see her respond.
Just to see her respond like that. But I was reading an article and it was saying how young athletes are expected to do things before entering high school. They're expected to become, you know, like stars before entering high school. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it and if you look back, these kids are starting to train at 3, 4, 5 years old.
It's crazy.
And they are put through rigorous training at these ages. And I only know about the gymnastics, where these girls and boys are starting at age 4.
I mean, it's crazy.
At age 4.
And then I have to tell you, we in the media and society, we automatically put them up on pedestals.
Mm-hmm.
Only to see them fall, and then we are on them.
Right.
Oh, you should have done this, or you should have handled this. But we're putting them up on the pedestal.
Yeah,
we're making celebrity more important than the sportsmanship. And that's crazy.
Yeah.
We want to hear from our listeners. Now, we don't want you to call at the last minute and thinking we're going to be able to get you on. If you have something you want to say about athletes and sportsmanship, give us a call at 410-319-8888. Because your opinion matters to us. Yeah. What do you think about Simone Biles? She is one of the most talented gymnasts in history. She's the most awarded gymnast in history. Went to the Olympics and said, I need to take a mental health break. I can't compete on behalf of the United States. I need a mental health break. She came home, and within days, she was at huge media events. She was at the Met Gala in that gown. Looked beautiful. But the media didn't seem to get on her nerves.
And so did Sha'Carri Richardson. She looked wonderful.
She looked beautiful.
Yeah.
Her hair was normal. I'm going to behave
myself.
Yeah,
it was.
But other than that, we keep saying, oh, the media, they can't take this media scrutiny, but they seem to be doing fine.
Yeah, because I don't know, maybe it's just me because I'm just a layman person, but it seems to me, like you just said it, can you separate the sportsmanship from the celebrity part of it? You know, I know we put them on a pedestal, but I also think that it's their job not to make us feel like we shouldn't have put you on that pedestal.
Yes.
Because, you know, you just learn how to respect yourself. Do your sport.
Do your sport. Make that the priority.
Yes. Make
not
that
being
the
on the cover of magazines.
Right. Unless it's like a sports magazine.
Commercials.
Unless it's a sports magazine or a cereal box. Right?
I mean, that Wheaties? Makes sense. Wheaties.
I mean, because it's in the sports ring, right? But Vogue?
I mean,
come
on.
If you get it.
Make it a priority.
Make your sport a priority, not your responses to the media and not being seen at, like, the Met Gala. I mean, I know that's a part
of your... It's a big deal.
It's a big deal. It's a part of your thing. But like you said, when you come out and you say, I can't deal with the media, but yet you're at one of the biggest galas. when you're at one of the biggest galas, then I would say that you really don't have a problem with the media.
So let's go to the phones. We have a bunch of callers. We're anxious to hear what you think about celebrity and sportsmanship. I wish I had that list of the 10 athletes who need to grow up, who are spitting at their colleagues,
yes,
who are fighting with their colleagues, who are criticizing their coaches, who are and they're getting paid millions of dollars to do it.
And one of those athletes said that his grandmother told him, "You need to stop
you
whining.
You need to grow up
and stop whining."
Yep. His grandmother told him that.
And it's hard. It's easy for them to say that, but you put them in that position where they think they're grown.
Oof. So we want to hear from you. Let's go to Real Thomas calling from Baltimore. Real Thomas, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Hey, Anthony, Carl, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, brother, how are you?
Good. Hey, let me explain something to you guys.
Yes.
As a father of a former professional NFL player, okay? It's the media that does this.
Yeah.
It's not us giving these athletes these money. It's these different organizations that's giving these athletes their money. I was listening to some people criticizing, you know, Lamar Jackson, okay?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
For him, I guess, cutting that cartwheel. Yeah, he probably shouldn't have done it, but it's not that he needs to grow up, okay? And I'm sure Lamar wouldn't put himself in jeopardy if he knew that he was going to hurt himself by doing that cartwheel. He wouldn't have done that, you know? I'm sure he wouldn't have done that. And I've heard a lot of people criticizing him
for allowing
his mother to be his agent.
Uh-huh.
His mother is a sports agent. That's what she does. She doesn't have just Lamar. She has several other athletes that she deals with, okay? And because I hate to say it, but I got to put it where the ghost can get it. But because he didn't go to a white agent to bring that money home to them, that's why a lot of these people are talking. He should go get an agent. He should get somebody who's familiar with the Baltimore Ravens. Well, his mother did well enough.
She did very well.
By the Baltimore Ravens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure she's got his best interest at heart. She's not going to do him like Britney Spears' parents.
Right.
But you know what, Real Thomas? I have to ask you this because I agree with almost everything you said. But does that mean that people who criticize Lamar, not just for the cartwheel, which I think they were thinking athletically he put himself at risk.
Mm-hmm.
What if he had fallen? What if he'd hurt himself? He should not put
a freak accident.
Yeah, he should not put himself at risk that way. But people criticize these athletes, but they also praise them. But sometimes people call acting as if you're not supposed to criticize these athletes.
Well, listen, there's nothing wrong with criticizing the athletes. And I don't want to be misconstrued in what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing wrong with you criticizing them. But until you put yourself in that athlete position or until somebody hands you a boatload of money, you never know how you're going to react to the situation.
Very true.
I will say this one thing. Them same people criticizing Lamar, if he turns around and donate money to their foundation, oof, I bet they won't have nothing to
they'll
say.
They'll snatch it up in a minute. Real Thomas, thank you so much.
Thank you.
410-319-8888. Roger is on the line. Roger, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Hey.
On that, Lamar Jackson, let me say this. I feel like his mother did a fantastic job.
She did a great job.
I have to say it on national radio. Felicia, you did a great job. Get back in contact with your Baltimore roots. Love to speak with you. And back to the whole thing with the championship heart, man. Listen, all champions have an arrogance. It just comes with the territory, man. I mean, I was the Golden Glove champion, the AAU champion, the Mid-Atlantic champion. I was an arrogant dude, man. I was arrogant.
But do you have to be arrogant, Roger?
The great Mr. Mac Lewis had all of us that way. You had to feel like you was the best.
You were the best, yep.
That's how it is.
But did you know when to reel it in? Did you know when to reel it in? Yeah.
That arrogance, did you know when to reel it in?
I knew when to put the arrogance out.
Oh, okay.
Reeling it in was just something that happened. Putting it out is one thing. The arrogance come back should you get beat.
That's right. Very true.
But again, even after that, you go right back out there with the same mindset. You have to build on it because this is something that this is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just like I was talking to Tank when Tank was here, everybody had to fall down on Tank. Tank doing this. Tank
oh, he doing that.
Tank
he
got
doing...
get on out of town. Mm-hmm. Tank went on and got out of town. But Floyd talked to Tank, and many others talked to him.
Mm-hmm.
Tank got himself together, and he's champ again, and he's doing very, very well. Looks like he's one of the most successful fighters to come out of town.
He really
is.
And now the interest. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
And he's a big star. He's a mega star. Did $15 million in his last two fights. He's going to be a huge, huge, huge success. He's doing 375,000 pay-per-view buys right now.
Yep.
That's all through COVID. Rest assured, after all this stuff is over, he'll be doing 1 million buys.
But the other thing I like about you picked up the perfect example because, Roger, Tank said, let my boxing speak for me.
Yeah.
He said, right. You know, y'all can criticize me. Y'all can come after me every day, but I'm going to back it up with my boxing.
Mm-hmm.
And
he does every time. Right. He really does.
Yeah.
That's right. That's
Roger,
right. That's
I appreciate right. you. Thank you for your call. Thanks for joining our two-way talk. Now, the interesting thing, Kara, about Usain Bolt, and he did. He said these things to the press. He probably should have picked up the phone and called Sha'Carri and said, Sha'Carri, you need to back up your arrogance with victories. And if you can't back it up, stop going after these other athletes.
Yeah. And train more.
Yeah. Focus on winning. Focus on your game. It's not game. Focus on your running.
Yeah.
Don't focus on what these reporters are saying. Man. Don't focus on the criticism of other athletes. Focus on running.
And, you know, something Real Thomas said is that the media builds it. And I know the media has.
They have a role to play.
But my thing is, whenever you talk to somebody that's basically humble in whatever industry they're in, the one question that a lot of media people ask, especially if they're young, is what keeps you grounded?
Yes.
So if that grounding doesn't start at home from your parents and you get a little big on yourself when you start getting paid, then it's going to get out of hand.
And you know what? It's the same question people ask of Oprah.
Yeah.
What keeps you grounded? It's the same question people ask of Beyonce. What keeps you grounded?
Yeah.
Because the money, the fame, the celebrity isn't the end all be all.
Right.
So what keeps you grounded? What keeps your feet on the ground?
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing we've got to ask these athletes. Everyone keeps saying, oh, they get emotional or they're so passionate. Let's stop making excuses. They're arrogant.
Right.
They're arrogant.
They are. And I do understand that. There's a certain amount of arrogance when you are good.
It
comes with it. I don't, but there has to be a point where you can pull it back, be mature when you're talking to the media, be able to respond maturely when somebody says something that you don't like.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how I feel.
Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Priscilla. Priscilla, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Hello, how are you today?
Doing well. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment about the Simone Biles Olympic debut and her mental health. I think that America wanted a gold medal so bad.
Yes.
Really disregarded the mental health of all those athletes.
Mm-hmm.
These were young girls that were being sexually abused during the previous Olympics and probably prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
And they were neglected by the Olympic Committee. They were neglected by their coaches. They were also neglected by the FBI and other adults who knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and Priscilla, you are right. You are 100%
right. Simone Biles in particular, when we say the Olympics was not the time for her to have a meltdown, I don't really think that is fair. We don't know what her triggers were. 4 years later, she comes back and she's in the Olympic rings. We don't know what that did for her.
Mm-hmm.
And if she needed to take that time to take care of herself, I think we should respect that. She is doing death-defying feats that nobody else has done before. So rather than America put another notch on its belt and have this young lady get a gold medal, and on the flip side, she break her neck, hurt herself, kill herself, like, then what? So I think that we have to make sure the same way that we treat other sports injuries, we have to make mental health a real issue.
I agree.
Thank you, Priscilla.
I think you
are 100% right. Although, I tell you, it's sometimes hard for me to digest her taking mental health as a priority at the Olympics when she's standing before all the cameras at the Met Gala.
Well, to her defense, I do know that she was having with the gymnast called the dizzies, which does not let you know where you are when you're in the air, which could make you fall,
yes,
break your neck, mm-hmm, or whatever.
But that's the sport she chooses to be in.
That's the sport she chose, but I'm mm-hmm, not. So is it the dizzies or is it the mental health? I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Everything Priscilla said.
I do too.
But I also think that anything that was going on prior to the Olympics, she knew about.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of thinking that she could go on with the show, she should have backed out then.
Yep. And let someone else represent the United States.
Of herself. I'm glad she did.
Me too.
Mike, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Thanks for having me on. I want to echo a little bit beyond what the previous caller Priscilla said. Mental illness is real.
Mm-hmm.
This is Suicide Prevention Month.
It is.
And mental illness, you don't schedule a mental illness.
You're right.
It comes when it comes.
Yeah.
And so, I applaud Priscilla because she really hit my point. This young lady had been abused. No one, and other young women too, but I'm only going to look at Simone Biles. She was adopted. So I'm a licensed clinician and for 31 years. And that's a very dangerous thing to say, is that people should put off their mental illness because something else, a sports event or something of that nature, is more important.
Mm-hmm.
It is not.
Right.
It is not. And her life is not worth a gold medal, a brown medal, or no medal.
That's right.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. It was very appropriate, and we have to be very careful about the messages that we send to young people, because they're young people who think they should perform despite how they feel.
You're right.
That's what causes kids to go home and say the pain of living is greater than the pain of dying.
Mm-hmm.
So please be careful when you talk about people's mental illness. You don't schedule that.
Of course.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome. Thank you. Now, folks, I really respect everybody's opinion.
Mm-hmm.
But if you call up yelling and screaming at us, we're going to cut your call off. Because we're not yelling and screaming at you. So there's no reason for you to call and yell and scream at us.
And I understand.
With what you said. And I agree that people are passionate.
Yes.
But there's a way to talk to our listeners and talk to us that is respectful. And that's what I'm asking. Let's mm-hmm. all be respectful. Yelling and screaming at us doesn't change our opinion one way or the other. But one thing we're not going to tolerate at Two-Way Talk is disrespect on either side. Now, I agree with everything that he said.
I do. You can't schedule your
mental health.
You can't.
You can't.
I agree with everything he said, that she should not have put or athletes, coach or parents or whatever, should not expect an athlete to put their mental health on the back burner. I agree with that totally. I'm not saying that she should have done that.
And we are, as a country, hungry for these gold medals.
And that's
enormous pressure to put on someone.
Yeah.
Because we are watching, and all we care about, are you standing on that stand
mm-hmm.
with a medal around your neck?
Yeah.
And she said that was entirely too much pressure.
Yes. So, Renee, welcome to Two-Way Talk.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, Renee.
Hi. I totally agree with the last two callers, and they pretty much summed up what I wanted to say, and they said it so much better than I would have.
No, I don't believe that. You can say whatever you want to say.
But, I wanted to comment about Simone Biles.
Mm-hmm.
So being a gymnast is her job. And like the gentleman said, you can't schedule, a mental health issue. And she probably got to the point where all this time, and we had COVID, and then, she still had to train and get in shape and everything
mm-hmm.
and be prepared for the Olympics. However, I think, maybe with us, and sometimes we do it ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And when we think about our jobs, we push through and say we can push through.
We can do it. We can do it.
Mm-hmm. To the point that we cannot.
Mm.
Yes.
And so I'm thinking that's the point where she got to, and maybe she didn't know that she was going to actually have the twisties that day.
Twisties.
And then she just couldn't be strong enough, to follow through on it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and with her at the Met Gala, she She was just being Simone.
You're right.
She was just being Simone, being beautiful, being a woman.
And she is beautiful.
And not, you know, and not being showcased as, quote unquote, the GOAT, the medal winner for the U.S., you know, for the U.S.
Yeah.
And all she had to do was stand there and be pretty. And to her, maybe that was her affirmation that I am woman.
I am woman.
And this is who I am today. So, you know,
Renee, you are on point.
Yeah.
You are on point. Let's get one more caller in before we run out of time. Erica is on the line. Erica, welcome to Two Way Talk.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, Kara, and hi, Mr. Anthony. This is Erica Stokes.
Oh, it's great to hear from you.
You too. I'm calling and reiterating a little bit what the previous three callers have said. I just wanted to reiterate that, you know, mental health or mental illness, you cannot predict.
Yep.
It can strike at any time. Sometimes it's day by day, hour by hour. And I'm speaking from a personal perspective as someone who has dealt with these challenges and family. And when, you know, I first dealt with something, I didn't know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't educated on this. My family didn't speak about it. The church doesn't talk about it. So I just wanted to, you know, remind everyone and encourage everyone that sometimes, you know, you don't know what's going on, and don't worry about what other people think you should be doing or where you should be, but just get some awareness of yourself, know yourself, you know, love yourself. And we don't know. We don't, it's on the outside looking in, we don't know if, you know, let's say Simone's treatment started kicking in and she felt good that day. Or we don't know if there was so much pressure that she could have showed up still uncomfortable. Still, she could have showed up still, you know, whatever she was going through because people were in her ear saying you have to do this. So, you know, I just wanted to reiterate, we just don't know.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Erica.
It's okay to take care of yourself.
Thank you, Erica. We got to go. That was a great segment, and we appreciate all those calls and everybody's opinion.
Yes.
Thank you for joining that conversation on sports and celebrity.
And celebrities.
We have created some of these monsters.
Yeah. I think it just goes right back to we have to start taking care of our children.
Yeah.
Sports, celebrity, whatever, we still got to take care of our children.
We're going to go to a break. Let's go to Amy for the MTA report. Me for the MTA report. Me for the MTA report.